Hebrews chapter 1, as we continue our consideration of the kingdom, our consideration of the kingdom and the who that is in the kingdom. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse number 8. The scripture says, "But unto the Son he saith," the Lord here speaking about angels, and that the Lord didn't call angels to be the Savior, but it is God the Son. "To the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." The Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth. He created things also. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." The Lord here, by the Apostle Paul, I believe it's the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, is speaking here and is making his greeting to the Hebrews, the Jews that he's writing to in this book. And he speaks right off the bat about how it is that the Lord has spoken to us, especially in these last days. It's through his Son, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, this reference to the kingdom of the Lord, that it is an everlasting kingdom, as we've seen. And it is a perpetual kingdom. It has been and it will be forever. In our consideration of the kingdom, we've seen different things and learned different things about it. And we know that there is a kingdom. We know that it is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, as it's referred to. We've taken a look at different aspects of the kingdom, and we'll continue to do so. We know that there's coming a day in which, as the scripture says in Mark chapter 13, let's take a look over there, a passage that I don't believe that we've read directly, have referred to by virtue of passages in, say, in Matthew, in Mark chapter 13, verse number 21, "And then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise." We've got one that's working here presently, I think at the end of the month, right? June 30th, there's going to be the transformation in this man that claims he's the man Christ Jesus. It's part of his name. And so they've existed and they will continue to exist until the coming of the Lord. "For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power, great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from the uttermost part of the earth unto the uttermost part of heaven." We've read other passages where it says that the angels will be sent to take out all things that are offend. And Brother Mark has been covering in his class about end time events and the order of end time events as we believe them from the scripture. And it's from a passage like this, and in Matthew chapter 13, there are those that think that there's a general judgment and a general even resurrection. It's not the case. The Lord is talking about those in a more general sense. There's more particulars about those that the scripture bears out. But there is a coming of a time that the kingdom of God is going to be established, and all that is wicked therein is going to be removed. All that wickedness and those that are disobedient, those that fight against the power of God, those that have rejected the Savior, they will be found in the lake of fire. And then the Lord is going to make the new heaven and the new earth, and his kingdom will be forever and be established in completely and totally in righteousness forever. And so we have what we have now. We have what we're heading for towards. And we want to consider here in between about those that are in the kingdom. those that are here in the kingdom upon this earth. We know, I mentioned last time about how those in hell, they understand about the kingdom. They understand who's in charge. They are held captive by the will of God and have been sent to that place because of their rejection of Christ, their rejection of the gospel, their lack of salvation of the soul through Him. They understand about the kingdom. The angels understand about the kingdom. Those fallen angels and Satan, they know about the kingdom. We've seen that. But there are those upon the earth, men, women, boys, and girls, that do not acknowledge the kingdom and do not know about it, but then yet there are those who do. Okay? And that's who we've tried to concentrate on and take a look at in these messages. In Luke chapter 17, I want to remind you of this, and maybe a scripture that might causes some confusion. We want to just take a note of it here and take a look at it quickly. In Luke chapter 17 again, in verse number 20, and when he was demanded, Luke 17 verse 20, and when he, that is Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It doesn't come like another kingdom that's on this earth does. When Alexander the Great came to power after his father was in power, there was a noticing and a seeing of the transition of him being the ruler of that kingdom. And then as he went out in pursuit, every town that he rolled into, it was observed, wasn't it? It was seen. But the Lord says presently, now, at this time, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation like you see other kingdoms come in. I believe that's what he's meaning. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And I believe what he's speaking about is, yes, presently that is the case. We that are saved, we that acknowledge the kingdom of God, we that believe and know that the kingdom of God exists, and we, by virtue of salvation, willingly submit ourselves to that king and that kingdom, we know it's true and it's there, isn't it? For us, it supersedes anyone that would try to rule and reign over us. We are told to be, by the Lord in the Scripture, to be submissive to the governments of the world that we find ourselves in. They're ordained by God. Right there's a hint that tells us about who's really, really in charge, right? If the governments that exist on this earth are ordained by God, is he not King of kings and Lord of lords? Is not the heart of the king in the hand of God? And just like water, he turns it the way that he wants to turn it, right? So it is in all his kingdom. There are princes, there are those that rule, but they are all under him. And presently in this time, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. You're not going to see the troops of the Lord march down the street, are you? You're not going to see the establishment of his capital at this time, but one day it will be, won't it? One day it will be. Okay, so we just want to take a look at that. Just as the Lord said in John chapter 3, that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, John 3:17, one day he will be coming to judge and condemn the world. But presently, the first advent, the first coming of the Lord, he came as Savior. Okay, and so just because a thing is said like this, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, it's talking about, the Lord's talking about presently it does not, but one day it will. One day it will. Are you ready for when it does? You that are here and not saved, are you ready for when the kingdom does come with observation? So now, the who that know that they are in the kingdom of God, that live upon this earth. What does it say about them? Who is it that enters into this kingdom? Who is it that has a part in this kingdom? Who is it that acknowledges this kingdom and knows that it's so? We've been blessed with faith about this. This is in part of our, being saved, the salvation of our souls by the Lord. We, in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation of the soul, we readily accept about being subject to Him. There is no greater Lord in my life than the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He gave Himself for me. Who else would I want to serve, right? Amen? Who else would it be that I would want to pursue? And so we want to continue to consider that here this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Let's read a scripture here and talk about this word that is here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "For I say unto you," here on the Sermon on the Mount, "that except your righteousnesses shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." One more time. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that is present tense, isn't it? The entering in can happen now. But something's got to happen. We've got to have righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And in that day, the people estimated the scribes and the Pharisees to be pretty righteous, huh? They would look on at them and said, "Well, who can attain to that? You've got to be born into that. You've got to be born into that wealth. You've got to be born into that opportunity." Not everybody has that ability, that privilege, and that blessing to be born like the Apostle Paul was into a family that had the wherewithal to take him and send him down to Jerusalem so he can be trained in the way of being a Pharisee. So how can you attain to that? Well, we know it's by the propitiation and the substitutionary and the word escapes me. Starts with an I. Oh man, I hate it when that happens. Thank you. Imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to us, and essentially the imputation of our sin to Him. He's without sin, and we're full of it. And He takes that from us. He's full of righteousness, and we are totally devoid. And His righteousness is given to us. Amen? That's the way that our righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, is by having Jesus Christ's righteousness. And by His faith, His fidelity, and His faithfulness, that we can have faith in Him. The Scripture says here that in no case, without that, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't enter mean to walk in? You all entered into the building, didn't you? You came up to the door and you pulled on the door. You were glad it wasn't locked and you came on in, right? You entered, right? Well, by virtue of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just as I had talked about just a few moments ago, it's by salvation, by having that righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, that righteousness of Christ by which we are saved is also how we enter in. Who is it on the earth that knows the who of the kingdom, that knows they are in the kingdom? It is those to whom the righteousness of Christ has been imputed. It's been put upon them. We have been saved by the Lord. Otherwise, you remember your life. I remember my life before the Lord saved me. I lived for me. I lived for my kingdom. Now, the children of God can be subject. We can be subject to go back to those old ways and have those tendencies. We need to be careful. Everything that we do and every way in which we live, everything that we say, do, and think, our entire conversation, it needs to be about and because and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where you went and what you did Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, was it to the honor and glory of God? It needs to be. That's the way it is for we that have entered into the kingdom. And so this word enter, it's not talking about a physically walking in and taking a position and having something that we do and some job that we do in the government of the Lord yet. But it will be, won't it? But we have indeed entered in. You know, and it's by faith. And the world looks on at that and they say, "You, something's wrong with you." No, we've been saved. Praise God that, quote unquote, there's something wrong with us. Yeah, as the world looks on at it. But we've entered into the kingdom. And so in that light, let's consider some more scriptures about the who presently on the earth of the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 here close. And we'll just march through the scriptures and take a look at these verses. Look here. In chapter 7 of verse 20, in verse 21, here continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Those that just have good speech and acknowledge Him and say, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says that enters into the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? It's not just speech, is it? It's just not talk, is it? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's an attribute, that's a trait of those that do enter in, the desire to do the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? What is the work of God? That we believe on him whom he hath sent? That's passage that talks about that. It's a twofold fair, isn't it? What is it that we might work the works of God? I believe it's in John chapter 6, where those that followed around with the Lord, desiring the free lunch, they asked him that. The Lord challenged them. He kind of stoved them up in their mind because they were following him around for the free lunch. He challenged them about that, and they said, "Oh, no, we're very righteous and we're very good, and no, we're just not after the free lunch." It was evident they were after the free lunch. They went to great pains to not get their own lunch, but follow him for the free lunch. And they wanted him to do a miracle, and the miracle that they wanted him to do was how about raining down a little manna? All right, providing for us a little manna like Moses did. And the Lord straightened them out about who gave the manna. And they said, what is it that we can work, that we might work the works of God? And the Lord says, Herein is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's what sinners are to do, to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? It is the work of God, in that he works, that sinners do repent and do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's kind of a multifaceted passage. But he says, not everybody that has a talk and righteous talk enters into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of the Lord. Hold your finger here and turn over to Mark chapter 7. We'll come back to Matthew. In Mark chapter 7, let's take a look over here. Look what the Scripture says here in Mark 7, verse number 6. And may God help us as His children that this not be our way. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ says here of those that He's ministering to and preaching to and teaching, and he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah, in Mark 7, verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. It is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We don't need self-righteousness. We don't need tradition. We need obedience to what the Lord says. We need a pursuit because of the Lord. You've heard me say it. We as the children of the Lord, do we do what we do and pursue what we pursue and try to curb our lives to keep God off of our back? Or because we love Him and we want to please Him? May the Lord help us. That would not be, because see, Brother Mark pointed it out, the Lord is going to judge our motive. Our motive. Do you do what you do to keep the preacher, the pastor off your back? Wrong motive. It should be out of love for the Lord. Because He first loved you. He first loved me. That needs to be what drives us in our service to the Lord. Not just rote obedience of a way and tradition and we do this because we've always done it, but why do you do what you do? Why do you pursue what you pursue? We need to ask ourselves that question often. So cheap talk does not cause one to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, our conversation is to be seasoned with salt, isn't it? As we speak, as we operate, and as we go, we're to be so in following Christ that the world sees that we are His. That's to be. But the doing of that doesn't make us His. Right? What makes us His is that He gave Himself for us. That He redeemed us. That He has given us His righteousness indeed. Talk's cheap. I remember at the time of the Twin Towers and all the focus in the media about Islamic groups and terrorist groups and all that. And you know, I noticed the thing that, and just flipping through channels as I was traveling and be there in the hotel, and would see, you turn over to the religious channels, and they're saying, you know, they're saying, praise God and do this and do that, and pray, you know, praise God, hallelujah, and then just on and on and on. They would do that on, say, PTL, 800 Club, and then when you turned it over there and you'd see a little clip about what they were translating of those terrorist groups, you know what they were saying? Praise Allah. Praise God. Praise Allah. Interesting, isn't it? Speech and with the words of our mouth don't make a thing so. But because we are saved, the truth of God's Word should come out of us. What's the origin? What's the reason, and what's the motive behind it? In Matthew chapter 18, let's take a look here. Matthew 18. The who of the kingdom that is upon the earth, what are traits and characteristics about the who of the kingdom on the earth that know and love the kingdom of God? Here in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. That word converted in the Greek, it means, synonyms for that is to turn self about, or to reverse. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those that have been entered into the kingdom of heaven have become as little children and have turned from self and the world and sin and Satan, have turned from that to the Lord. I really believe the Lord. I've cast all my care and all my life, all my being upon Him. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. If He doesn't do what I need done for my eternal help and blessing, for my present help and blessing, if He doesn't do it, it won't be done. You see, men, women, boys, and girls, mankind on this earth, we've been created such, and we're so independent in the way the Lord's created us. We think that we are a law and a rule and a God unto ourselves. But we are not. We need to submit to the Lord like a little child. Old Joseph, he'll want to do what he wants to do, but when what he wants to do gets out of line to where it won't be good for him or right for him, his parents will curb him and bring him in to where he needs to be. In that he is humbled, his will is humbled for his good. He trusts his parents. And we need to trust the Lord. Hard for a grown man that's 30, 40, 50 years old to become as a little child. I tell you what, we sure better. In regards to the Lord, we sure better. We sure better. And that's such it is with those, we that are in the kingdom on this earth. In Matthew chapter 19, let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, said, get those kids out of here. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come to me, that I might lay my hands on them, that I might pray over them. Forbid them not. What's he say? Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. What? Prevent those little children from coming to the Lord? Well, how does that ever make sense? Because it's of little children that either in the time of their youth or as they grow and become adults, it's of that stock, if you will, that sinners are saved. It's of people that sinners are saved. And what better thing than for a young child to be near and close to the things of God? It's a blessing and it's a privilege for each of you that are young and that have been able to be in the amongst the church of the Lord and to be in the services and the regular meeting of one of the Lord's churches. It's a blessing. There's many upon the earth. I told you about the little girl in our county that doesn't even know, had never heard about God creating the heavens and the earth, had never heard the account of creation from the Scripture. What a terrible thing that we would have children, we would have grandchildren, and it would be that they wouldn't be brought to the Lord's house to meet with the Lord's people, to worship and to learn. I heard the account the other day about a young girl. Maybe she's maybe just in her teens, and the parents have claimed to be saved by the Lord and said that they, in time of their lives, followed the Lord in that. But they've arrived at a time that their teenage daughter knows nothing about the foundational accounts of the Scripture. Praise God, He can work through that. But isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Forbid them not. Oh, the little children. And it says in verse number 15, and He laid His hands on them and departed thence. We, before the Lord, indeed need to be as little children. In Matthew chapter 19, we drop on down here to verse number 23. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, and understand and hear this wording, enter into the kingdom, come into the kingdom, and such as that. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are referenced here. Why is that? Why is it that the Lord, the rich young ruler, as we refer to Him, He came and He wants to inherit eternal life. And the Lord tells Him, keep the commandments. He said, I've been doing that. He said, okay, you lack one thing. Go sell it. Give it to the poor. And come follow the one that you lack. Come follow Me, the Lord says. Said He went away sorrowful because He was very rich. And then the Lord said what we read here in Matthew 19. Why is it that that is that way? Well, hold your finger here and turn over to a charge to the Lord's people in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Is the Lord saying it's impossible for those that have the wealth of this earth to be saved? No. With men, things are impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible, right? It's not impossible for the Lord to save. The Lord can reach a rich man just like he can reach a poor man. He can do that. But here, I think we have a hint, and this is a challenge and a charge to the Lord's people. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number... verse number 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17. Here the apostle writing to Timothy and giving him a charge to give on to others. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but rather that they trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute that which the Lord has given them, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That's what Brother Mark was talking about in Sunday school class, about works of the people of God being tried there at the judgment seat of Christ to determine what sort they are, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Verse number 17 gives us the key. This is the way it is with mankind. Riches have a tendency to make men, women, boys, and girls high-minded, don't they? But who's given us what we have? Who's given any man what he has? Who gave Solomon what he had? Who gave Nebuchadnezzar what he had? The richest person in the world today, did they get that by their own ability and their own ability and wherewithal from within them? No, they've been blessed with that from God. Whether they hate God or whether they love God, whether they're an unrepentant sinner or they're a saint of God, God has given that to them. The Lord says it's hard. It's hard for a rich man to enter in. Why? Because riches have a tendency, we allow that to make us high-minded. And it says, goes on to say here, nor trust in uncertain riches. Tell you what is it that Proverbs says about wealth? Wealth has got wings on it. It flies away in a hurry. And the more wealth that's amassed, you got to have people to ride herd on it. Right? The more wealth that's piled up, there's always those that come to it and want to eat off of it. Right? There's always that is pursuing the pulling down of that wealth. And so what's a man that has been blessed with wealth? The natural tendency of man is to focus upon that and say, well, I'm richer than many others, so that makes me better than others. Wrong. I'm wealthier than others, so I can sustain longer than others. Wrong. Thou fool. Remember what the Lord said to that farmer? Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. That money didn't keep him there, did it? And so the Lord makes reference here that it's hard, it's very difficult for rich men to enter into the kingdom of God. We go on to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Considering about those in the kingdom, and those that know they are in the kingdom and that love the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterward repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain, of the two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Who was he? The one that repented? He with a bold disdain for the will of the Father, said, no, I'm not going. But you know what? Later on, he said, that was wrong. I'm going to go ahead and go. Then there was that one that gave lip service. It's kind of like the ones that the Lord was talking about there in Matthew chapter 7, wasn't it? Those that cry out, Lord, Lord. Got the speech right. They have correctly what the Father wants to hear. Right? But as James says, their faith is shown that it's dead because they don't have any works to back up what they say. Talk is always, and has always, and will always be cheap. He said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them did the will of his father? They say unto him the first, the one that repented. Look at what he says here in verse 31. Verily I say unto you that the publicans, the tax collectors that have sold out the nation to go and do that work of collecting taxes and maybe even roughing up their own brethren in the nation, that the publicans and the harlots, those that cater to whoremongers, what's it say? The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God. Go in to the kingdom of God before you. You got the talk right. The talk's cheap. And sinners that know that they're sinners and repent of being sinners, they go into the kingdom before you. Repentance. A characteristic of those that have entered into the kingdom, once again, is that of repentance. Luke chapter 12. Look here. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. It shows the desire of the Lord and of the Father towards us as people, towards His church and towards His children. He says here in verse number 31 of Luke chapter 12, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God." In Matthew chapter 6 it says, "And His righteousness." "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things," the things that we need for daily life and sustenance, "shall be added unto you." Listen to this. "Fear not, little flock." And it's interesting the Lord says little flock. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Those, a testimony and a witness of those that know they're in the kingdom of God and love being in the kingdom of God, even though presently it doesn't come with physical observation, it is within us. Our attachment and our being in that kingdom is more spiritual now than physical. And of course, our salvation and the life that the Lord's given us, it is manifested in our lives. But we do the work of the kingdom in the Lord's church, don't we? And we do, we are to be a witness as the Lord's children to a lost and dying world around us. That is work of the kingdom that we do. But those that are here that are in the kingdom and love the kingdom are here near the Savior, here trusting the Savior. They're hearing the words of the Savior. "Fear not, we are indeed His flock," aren't we? We're His flock. We're the sheep of His pasture. We're the sheep of His fold. You know what? We don't hold that in disdain. Do you resent being called a sheep by the Lord? I don't. I'm thankful that I'm one of the Lord's sheep. I'm thankful for it. Sheep are pretty dumb. Sheep have problems. Sheep lack a lot of ability. That's pretty descriptive of me. And I thank God that I am one of His sheep. I know you do too, you that are saved. What's He want to do? A little flock, sheep of His fold and His pasture. It's the Father's goodwill to give us that kingdom. That literal kingdom, right, Brother Mark? that kingdom in the 1,000-year reign and that kingdom that will exist on the new heaven and the new earth. God, the Father's desire is to give that to us. The wealth, just the physical wealth that no doubt we will have in being the children of God will cause the greatest wealth of the world to pale by comparison. And yet the thing that we will esteem most highly is the Lord Himself. Isn't that something? You know, we are thankful for the provision of God for us, and we try to take that, and we should try to take that, be good stewards of it, and use it well, and use it right, and we put a fair amount of time into that, and we look to that, and we need to hold that balance of good stewardship, but not hanging on to the things of this life too tightly with that white knuckle grip, as a brother would say. But there, when that kingdom comes in, and we there are physically in that kingdom, it's manifested, all those things evil and wicked are cast out, and we're there with the Lord, we'll have so great wealth, but it'll be the littlest thing on our radar screen, if you will. Isn't that something? That just is hard for us to consider and imagine, isn't it? But it is so. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In Luke chapter 22, here the Lord is speaking to the apostles, and listen to what He says to them. Verse number 24, Luke 22, 24. "And there was also a strife among them," that is the disciples, the apostles, "which of them should be accounted the greatest. And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority on them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve." That's the way it's to be amongst us. No, big I's and little U's. The pastor is to be a leader, and this is a subject that I've become sore with over the course of my life. The pastor, as your pastor, I'm to be a leader of what the Word of God says. I need to seek the Lord's help and the Lord's face in that. I need you to pray for me about that. But I'm not a prince or a king over you. I'm your brother. I, in a sense, have been taken from among you for this work. But we all together answer to the king. And we answer to the prince. And we answer to our head, don't we? I'm to remind you what the Word of God says. I'm to help you on the way. I'm to teach you and to rightly divide the Word of God unto you and before you. And there is that leadership thing that is there. But it doesn't make me better than you. And we have a place that the Lord has made for us according to His Word, and we need to follow that because that'll be the best place of blessing. And He says here, it's not going to be this way. But if there's somebody that's great, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. Verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. That's the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got an example. We've got an example in the Lord, and He came and served. Ye are they, verse number 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Listen to this. And I appoint unto you a kingdom. He's speaking specifically to the disciples, the apostles here. As my Father hath appointed unto me, I've got a kingdom that I'm appointing unto you, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Want to have a position? Serve the Lord. Want to have a position with the God, with your Heavenly Father, with your Savior? Serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. Want to have a great part in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Father? Serve. Serve. Humble ourselves to serve, to give, to help, to further the kingdom. And you know what? When the Lord's kingdom does come with observation, He'll have for you and I what He wants us to have. As it says there in the end of the book of Daniel, He says to Daniel, says, you'll go on and you'll write these things and you'll live your life, to paraphrase it, and He says, and in that day, you'll stand in your lot, Daniel. What I need to do as a child of God, I need to serve Him and obey Him. What you need to do as a child of God is serve Him and obey Him. And you know what? In His kingdom, when it comes, He'll have the place for you that He wants for you. With the apostles here, 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. For Daniel, he'll stand in his lot, whatever that is. For you and I, we don't know. But you know what? We'll know it'll be good. And we need to be faithful in the meantime. And you know what? That's a trait. That's an evidence. That's a witness. That's the work of the child of God, the people, the who of the kingdom that know and know they're in the kingdom and love the kingdom of God. It's coming. It's coming indeed. We're going to stop right here for this morning. Are you ready for the kingdom of God to come with observation? Are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in the clouds? Are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to set His feet on the Mount of Olives? Are you ready for His kingdom to come in? I'll tell you what, the only way you can be ready is through salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him. You need Him as Savior. Repent of your sins and believe in Him. Trust in Him for the salvation of your souls. for the remedy of your sin problem, that He, and in what He did on Calvary some 2,000 years ago, to believe that He did that for you. You're lost and undone. You're on your way to hell. You're on your way to be cast out of the kingdom. Presently, you enjoy the blessings of the Lord's kingdom. Sun came up today, and you got to enjoy that. You had food to eat, no doubt, this morning. Clothes to wear. You had shelter last night. Those are blessings. Listen, in hell, hell and the lake of fire is devoid of all the blessings of the kingdom. Are you ready for the Lord's kingdom to come in?